one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord my King. All the days of my life,
all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and sing you in this holy day.
One thing, hallelujah.
Seek you in this holy place.
All the days
of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place.
I got a prophetic tweak to that. And if it's in your heart, I want you to sing it to yourself as the choir sings. All the days of this year, make a consecration. All the days of this year.
This holy place, all the days of this year.
All the days of this year. I want to gaze upon your beauty
and seek you in this holy place.
All the days of this year.
All the days of this year.
All the days of this year.
Lord, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place.
Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your presence, your tangible presence. As we go into the word now, we humble ourselves afresh, asking for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and release it all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, yea, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in the prayer, in their own individual lives, all individually agreed and said, today, I have an important present truth instructional message. It's actually a spin-off from the New Year message on the Committed Overcomer Vanguard. And I've entitled it Crucifying the Flesh. I did say that the definition of an overcomer is one that uses the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what an overcomer is. That's why the Bible defines it that way. In the book of 1 John in chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 4, it said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh, that's the overcomer, the world. But what is the world? 1 John chapter 2, verses, I believe, 15 and 16, tells us that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you want to find out why Christians are not progressing in any area of their lives, it comes out to those three things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I said this during the watch night service, the king is the pride of life. Because pride many times is so subtle that we don't even recognize it as pride. We see it as, I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and I said, you know, God doesn't want to change our personality. I said, he certainly does. He said, oh, that's not my personality, you know. My personality is not to be gentle and, you know. I said, that's exactly what Jesus came to do. God wants you to have Jesus' personality. That's Jesus. He came to change our personality so that we will have the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this some years ago. It's come to me now as I'm talking by the Spirit. Do you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 was a revelation to Paul himself personally? Because Paul has, in psychological studies, they say he has a choleric, you know, a personality. He was somebody who had a forceful personality. You know, remember when John Mark was Barnabas' cousin, his sister's son. And John Mark went with them on a missionary trip. But you know, he was a kid. You know, he got maybe homesick or just discouraged, and he went. So next time they wanted to go, you know, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. Paul said, no, not going. Now, because Paul was a leader and he had the apostolic anointing on him, and God honored that. But you find the same Paul many years later saying, bring John Mark, for he's profitable unto me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is what it says. It says, if I have all knowledge and all understanding, say, if I have not love, is that a problem? Nothing. Paul was talking to himself. The Holy Ghost was talking, because Paul had knowledge. You see, there are a lot of things Paul learned as he grew spiritually. He said, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. How did he know? Paul was. Hebrew of Hebrews. Pharisee of Pharisees. Concerning the law, blameless. God took time to break him. Do you know what Paul said? The same Paul. He said that because of the abundance of revelation, there was given, of course, it wasn't God who gave, it was the devil, but God allowed it. Unto me, a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Is that for this thing? I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. What was the divine answer? My grace is sufficient for it. And my strength. You see, I have a lot of things I want to do through you, Paul. But they will not be able to flow. They will not be able to run their full course if some of this, your pride, is still there. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, he learned. Give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering. Not only did he learn it, he now wrote it for generations to come. Though I, Paul, speak with tongues of men and of angels, if I don't have love, I'm going to profit me anything. Though I, Paul, have all knowledge and understand, and Paul had revelation beyond anybody. He says, it profits me nothing. Then he began to explain. It was revelation. It was to Paul personally, and then God used it to send it to all of us. That's this how God is saying, this is how I want you to be. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is not envious. It's not, does not boil over with jealousy. Love is not puffed up. Love, you know, is not conceited. Thank you for this amplified version. And arrogant. You know, particularly people who are gifted, they can be arrogant. That's what God wants to change. That's what you want to overcome. You want to overcome the arrogance and inflated with pride. It's not rude or unmannerly. The rudeness, the unmannerliness. You know what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs? He said that the rich answers roughly. He said, but the poor man deals with entreaty. You know, when you are rich, when you are privileged, when you are, you know, you are knowledgeable, you have a tendency to, you know, treat people, you know, just answer them roughly. The Bible says love doesn't do that. Love doesn't do that. Go back to the Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yes. It's not rude. It's not unmannerly. Does not act unbecomingly. Something happened yesterday in our house. Some mobile policemen who had been with us in 2008, when we first had to get, we had an armed robbery attack. So we had to get armed police to protect, because one of the armed robbers said that somebody had contracted them to come and kill my wife and I. But, you know, God delivered us and they didn't do it. So we applied for mobile police and they sent them to us. So these two officers were one of the first officers we had. So they had called me some days before and texted me and said, Pastor, we want to come and greet you at New Year's Eve on New Year's Day. I said, no problem, you know. So I told my wife, I said, they're coming. My wife said, oh, make sure you give them something nice. I put a certain amount. My wife said, no, increase it. I said, that's your own. Add my own. So my wife always makes me more generous, you know. And so when they came, they called at the gate that they were around. I said, I'll let them in. So I now went to see them. The things they said, that there's a reason why I'm sharing this. I'm using it as an example to show what God is trying to do in our lives. These are people who I don't even have to see them. In fact, people in my position, they can't even have my phone number. Even if they come, I can just send somebody to them and say, it's just money they want. Just give them. Don't do that. Those things mean a lot to God. So I came out, you know, and of course if I'm praying or I'm busy, I do. But even then, I will send an apology. I don't just, you don't treat people in an unmannerly way simply because you are in a position of privilege. So I now went out and I saw both of them. And I said, this one is from me and mommy, you know. You know what they said? Both of them said this, but I just want to. He said, Oga, we can never forget you. He said, Oga, we can. He said, not money. One of them, when he was with us, I think he had left us by that time, you know, he was shot. And the bullets destroyed a lot of his bone. He said, Oga, do you remember? I said, I remember. He said, this arm was to have been amputated. He said, you with Pastor Andrew, you said, you not only gave me finance, he said, you came and prayed for me. He said that the way God used you, he said, the grace of God through your prayer, he said, that's why I still have my hand today. He said, I can never, he said, Oga, I can never forget. The second one said, you are always our Oga. He said, because the way you, you know, and then we talk, I hugged them. That's how to behave. Love. Love. You see, arrogance and pride is so insidious. See, people will say, those kind of people. That's where God is testing you. That's why I told that little story. I was talking about overcomer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the, and the pride of life. That's what you are to use the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. So this afternoon, I want to zero in on crucifying the flesh. This is your assignment for 2022. This is how the overcoming will become a reality. What do you overcome? You overcome the, everybody say the lust of the flesh. I didn't hear you. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's what you are to overcome. It is the people who overcome those things that will be made partakers of the glory. One thing the Lord told me in this whole thing was that this glory that is coming is not going to be like anything that we have seen before. And he said, nobody is going to mess it up. It will not be given if a certain amount of work of humility, of compassion has not been done in the heart. He said, I will not trust it to anybody who doesn't have that. He said, because they will corrupt it. Arrogance, pride, covetousness, loss of the eyes. Sexual immorality, the lust of the flesh. You know, there's something that power does to men. When men become exalted, look at Solomon. Look at David. There's something about power. If your character has not been fully formed, they say power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's what they say in the world. There's some truth there. What would make a man like David look at a young girl like Bathsheba having a bath, knowing she's somebody's wife? The wife of one of his own men who is fighting in the war front, laying down his life, and decides to take advantage of her because he's king. Power. David didn't intend to kill Uriah. Certainly not. He just wanted to have fun for a night. That's all. But fun with who? Is she your toy? Or your plaything that you all play with? Is she not a human being? Is she not the wife of one of your most trusted warriors? But you know, when power gets to your head, you don't remember such things. You just remember, I'm in power. It's king. And can do and undo. Which he did. Although it cost him. We won't go there. I'm talking about overcomer. Crucifying of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit gave me some very clear instructions that I am to pass across to you, which you, by the grace and the mercy of God, should start practicing from today. We are 10 months away from the Feast of Tabernacles. It's going to happen in October of this year. It gives you some time. Don't waste it. This year is your overcoming year. Turn to your neighbor. Say, this year is your overcoming year. This year is the year you're taking it back. Taking everything back. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. It's not a very popular scripture. Everybody, there is no Christian in Nigeria that does not know Philippians 4:19. I don't even know Philippians 4:19. Popularly called 4:19. He says, my God. Everybody say, my God. Now let's say the correct faith way. My God. I say, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Check the atmosphere to change. But how many people know Galatians 5:24? And they that are Christ's. If you're Christ, here, give me a wave offering. I didn't say you should put your hand down yet. I said, give me a wave offering. If the person that is next to you has their hand up, say that scripture is talking about you. They that are Christ, you can put your hand down now, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Corollary. If you do not crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts, ultimately, God doesn't expect perfection overnight. Can you really claim to be Christ's? Now, let me qualify that. You know, doesn't mean you won't be a Christian. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. But you see, there are certain privileges. There are certain blessings you may never be able to enjoy in their fullness if you don't deal with your flesh. The scripture is clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said that, well, there's only one foundation all of us have. It's Jesus Christ. We're all born again. He said, but take heed how you build on that foundation. He said, some build with wood, hay, and stubble. He said, others build with gold and silver. He said, this third day, Olubi Johnson paraphrase. He said, the day will declare it. For every man's work will be tried by fire. That fire is the manifest power of God. They that have done a good work, he said, they will receive a reward. In other words, they will be a partaker of that glory. He said that those that build with wood, hay, and stubble, he said, their works will be burned up. And they will suffer loss. If you don't crucify the flesh, you will suffer loss. Hence this instructional message. Crucify it. Somebody said, if you don't crucify it, it will crucify you. I preached this many, many, many years ago, almost 30 years ago. I was talking about Esther and Haman. You know, Haman was an Agagite. He came from the tribe of Agag. When, back in the days of Saul and Samuel, God told Saul to kill all the Amalekites. He spared Agag. The flesh you don't kill, generations later, it will come back and kill you. Is that Haman, the son of an Agagite, that wanted now to kill all the Jews? Had they all been wiped out, there would have been no Haman. The flesh you don't kill, you don't crucify, it will come back and crucify you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's not going to happen to me in Jesus' name. I'm going to crucify the flesh and keep it under by the power of the Holy Spirit in this new year. Remember, turn to your neighbor, remember, I'm taking it back. Hallelujah. That's why I sung that song. Everything, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. They that are Christ. Not a very popular scripture. Not as popular as 419. But it's just as important. 419 is important too. But this is very important. They that are Christ. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with us? We're not very excited about this scripture. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Crucifying the flesh is not an option if you want a reward. The reward of the glory is not an option. give you more scripture. Romans chapter 8. If you come to this church, you would have heard this scripture so many times. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And we're going to first of all look at verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to jump to verses 10 and 13. Romans chapter 8, we're talking about crucifying the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not out of the flesh but out of the Spirit. They will tell you that in the original Greek, that who walk not out of the flesh is in verse 4. It's not actually in verse 1. I don't know, some overzealous people just put it there. So, for the law of the Spirit of life, for. Don't you ever say for means because. The reason why they're not, the law of the Spirit of life, I didn't hear you, in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. We preached this many times over the years, but it bears repetition today because of the contextual nature of the message in which I'm preaching. The spiritual laws are like physical laws. In the physical, you have two laws that oppose one another. There's the law of gravity that says everything that you throw up will come down because there is a force of gravity that causes things to be attracted to the earth. But in 1904, a bunch of two boys in America, the Wright brothers, doing a lot of experiments in their lab, you know, discovered that there is a law of lift. That if you propel an aeroplane and you put the wings in the right way, that what will happen is that the convention of the air will act as a lift to the wings. And by that law of lift, you can overcome the law of gravity and you can fly an aeroplane. And it was first demonstrated in a place called Kitty Hawk in America. I believe it's 1904. And so the law of lift overcomes the law of gravity. And that's what aeroplanes used to fly. So you can now see a big Boeing 387 with three floors inside. Big, massive. And that big metal thing would take off. The law of gravity, observe, is never suspended. It's only overcome. So long as you put kerosene, that's what aeroplanes use, jet fuel, and you press the button and the jet engine begins to, you know, what it does is that it compresses the air, then pushes it, you know, backwards, and it gives it a forward thrust, and then it gives it a lift. So long as that power is there, it will overcome the law of gravity. Spiritually, that's a beautiful illustration that God gave me years ago, and then Kenneth Copeland too, you know, confirmed it. You know, I got it from my physics background. But I want you to see something here. It means that the law of gravity can be overcome if the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is enforced. The law of sin and death can be overcome if the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is enforced. Just like the law of gravity can be overcome if the law of lift is enforced in aeronautics. So it is. When we talk about crucifying the flesh, what we are actually saying is this, that you will use the life of God that is in your spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit therein to release the forces, or what we call the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, into the mind, the will, the emotions, into the physical body to dominate and clean out the sin nature that is in the mind, will, emotions, and in the physical body that is causing you to desire and then to do evil. or wrong things. That's what we mean when we say crucify. The word crucify is a powerful word. It comes from the experience of Jesus on the cross. Jesus Christ was crucified physically. The Bible now tells us that we must crucify spiritually the sin nature that is inside our flesh. This same Galatians chapter 5, earlier on, it said that walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The same thing, just using different words. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Corollary, if you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. It's simple. You know, there's something about honesty that helps you to discover truth. You know, people just try and, you know, it's very simple. If you are walking in the, you know, if you're fulfilling lust of the flesh, it's because you didn't walk in the Spirit. Then you need to ask yourself the question, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And very simply, it's taking the nature of God in the Spirit, which is born again, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and bathing, that the Bible actually uses that expression. It says having our flesh washed with pure water. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The word that those words are very suggestive. This is what it means in practice. It means that you should constantly allow the flow of the life and the power of God from your spirit, like I taught us in the illustration some weeks ago. I'm not going to do that now because of time. You know, it comes from your spirit, you know, and comes up through your mouth. You know, it goes into the soul, the mind, the will, the emotion, and into the body, you know. And so long as that flow is there, and there in sufficient measure and with sufficient force, you will dominate the flesh. The reason why we have problems is that many times that flow is interrupted. In other words, it's not, it's in the spirit, but it's not going to the mind, it's not going to the will, it's not going to the flesh, it's not going to the body, you know, or its measure is not sufficient and it's not being pumped. That's the best word we can use. In those days, they didn't have a pump. So Jesus used the expression of a spring. That's what he said. When he said, it will be a spring of living water. If the force is sufficient, you know, and the volume is sufficient, you will clean out the nature of sin in the soul and in the body, and you will dominate it. That's what walking in the Spirit is. That's what it is. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that is the reason why he gave us certain instructions, which, sadly and regrettably, majority of Christians ignore to their peril. And that's why they don't crucify the flesh. Those instructions are not suggestions. They are commandments. They are instructions. And one of them is this. I used to wonder why he said that. Praying always. He didn't say pray occasionally. He said praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is he telling you to do? He's telling you to keep the flow. Keep the flow in sufficient measure and with sufficient force. Because if you do, you will keep the flesh, the sin nature in the flesh. Not only will you dominate it, you will clean it out. And then you will obey God. In addition to that, in the Old Testament, and repeated the same thing in the New Testament, in the same way, he said, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Let not this word, let not this law, law of God depart out of thy mouth, but you meditate therein day and night. He said, talk of it when you get up. Talk of it when you sit down. Talk of it when you're walking by the way. Talk of it when you lie down. Talk of it when you go. What is it? Keep the flow. Everybody shouts, keep the flow. If you keep the flow, you will crucify the flesh. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 13. Am I talking to anybody here? Am I helping anybody here? If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Paul accurately, by the Holy Ghost, analyzes the situation and gives us a solution at the same time. He said, and if Christ be in you, if Christ is in you, give me a wave offering. So if that person's hand is up, say he's talking to you. The body is dead because of sin. He's talking to born again Christians. Our bodies, he's not talking about physical death. Your physical body is spiritually dead because it has death inside. It has sin, the nature of sin inside. That is why your body desires adultery, it desires fornication, it desires food, it desires any, that's why we call it a lust. A lust is a desire that is inconsistent with the will of God. See, when you are fasting, your body will desire food. If you yield to it at that time, it becomes a sin. It is not wrong to eat, but it is wrong to eat at the wrong time when you're giving yourself. We're going to start a fast now on the 4th of January, every day until 6 o'clock. You go and check this out. By 2 o'clock in the afternoon, something will be telling you that you are hungry. And there will be you know the funny thing, you maybe be in your office or maybe you went out somewhere. Somebody will just bring some meat pie. The thing will just be, the smell will be coming to your nose. And you say, well, this is Mommy Sarah's servant. He's a fast. Yak on jay on be pie. The Pastor Olubi, how do you know? It happened to me. When I was a younger Christian, I remember when I was in Imperial College, and when I first started fasting, I didn't know how to fast properly. I would just pass by the cafeteria. The smell of all the baked beans. And sadly, many sometimes I succumbed and broke the fast until I learned how to fast properly. I learned that you have to consecrate, you have to pray about it, you know, and then I was able to do it properly. But you see, the lust of the flesh is there. The flesh does not desire. I'm going to hit on some very major things before I close. You know, there are three things God has given me to tell you. If you deal with those three, you will deal with all the other lust of the flesh. Remember, when people think of lust, they always think of sex. You know, that man, he had the lust of the flesh. He went to commit adultery. Yes, it is a lust of the flesh, but it is not the lust of the flesh. The other lusts, if you deal with those other ones, you will find that dealing with the sexual immorality becomes a very simple thing. In fact, it won't even disturb you. I learned that over the years. I'm still learning it. I'm perfecting it gradually by the grace and the mercy of God. I want you to understand something. That if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, the sin nature is still inside your physical body, even though you're born again. But, everybody scream. Thank God for that but. But, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, your born again spirit has access to the life of God because of the right standing you have by the blood of Jesus. That's a paraphrase, but that's what he's saying. The Spirit has life because of right standing with God by the blood of Jesus. Next verse. Beautiful scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. But, shout it again. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall do what? Quicken. This is old English. Give me New King James. Shall give life to your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Keep the flow. If you keep the life of God that is in your spirit, you keep letting it enter the body. The Bible says here, He said he will give life. He's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about resurrection. He's talking about now. He will give life to your mortal body. It will crucify the flesh. It will crucify the flesh. You know the problem? Most Christians don't even know this exists. And where they know, they are ignorant, they're lazy spiritually. So there is the constant flow of the life of God that is in the spirit that's entering the mortal body on a consistent basis. This is the answer. But if the spirit of him that raised up Christ, as he said, dwells in you, he that raised up will give life. That life he gives to your mortal body will enable you to crucify the sin that is in the body that he spoke about in the previous verse. Am I helping anybody here? If you're still my friend, wait for me. I know some people may not like me very much. Verse 12. Therefore, this is a serious matter. Therefore, brethren, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to brethren. Who? He's not talking to unbelievers. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. I don't owe the flesh any obligation to live after the flesh. You know what? If I'm living after the flesh, it's my fault. I'm not a debtor to live after the flesh. I don't have to. I may, because of ignorance, because of spiritual laziness and all of that, but I shouldn't. Therefore, brethren, I didn't hear you. We are debtors, not to the flesh. I don't have to live after the flesh. Next verse. For if ye, born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-believing, chorus-singing, Christian, live after the flesh, you shall die. That's why I'm preaching this message. 2022 is going to be a year of victory. It's a year of overcoming. But you have to crucify the flesh. You cannot live after the flesh continuously. You have to. He said, you will die. That die there does not necessarily mean you won't go to heaven. But it can and does mean many times premature physical death, so that the spirit will be saved in the day of Christ, you know. Or in some extreme cases, it can also mean the person dies, you know, spiritually. The Bible says every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, said he takes it away. And men gather them in the fire and burn. Don't your neighbor say, it will not be your portion. And it will not be my portion. In Jesus' name, because we will both crucify the flesh in this 2022. In Jesus' name. But if, notice it's all conditional. That's where the human will, and that's why messages like this are important, to give us the information and to inspire. It's not just an instructional message, it's also an inspirational message to inspire and to motivate us to do the right thing. If ye, now observe how it is done, through the Spirit. Everybody scream that. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Do mortify. That's the word crucify. The same word to kill, to mortify. The deeds of the body, you shall what? Give me this verse in the Amplified Bible. The same verse in Amplified. I'm just going to read the latter part of it. He says, putting to death, you know, but if through the power, I didn't hear you, of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually, everybody say, keep the flow, putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Observe the adjectives that are used in this verse. Habitual. That's the reason why Christians are failing. Some of these things occasionally instead of doing them constantly, habitually. If ye, through the power of the... And notice you cannot do it by your own power. It's through the power. That's why you need tongues. Don't your neighbor say, that's why you need tongues. Everybody speak in tongues for a minute. Stop speaking in tongues. Don't your neighbor say, it's not for showing off. It's for crucifying the flesh. Give the Lord a clap offering. Crucify the flesh through the Spirit. Now, let's begin to close. I have about 10, 15 minutes to go. The reason for crucifying the flesh, I actually said that in my introduction, so I don't really need to go there, is so that, number one, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, so you love God more, you will obey God more. But then there's another aspect here that came to me just this morning, even though I knew it before, but the Holy Spirit put it into my remembrance and said I should emphasize it. One very important reason why you, as an individual, need to crucify your own flesh is so that you can be a channel of life to others. Can you believe that? You see, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Scripture we're familiar with. But if you're a member of this church, you will hear it all the time. Verses 10 and 11. But I'm going to read it up to verse 12. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying, is this crucifying, of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest. Where? For we which live, I didn't hear you, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. You know, God allows the devil to attack us. That the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest. Where? Now, read the verse 12 in that context. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Whenever you are crucifying death, that death is the death of the flesh, the crucifying of the flesh. As the flesh is being crucified in you, you now become a channel of life to others. When the Bible says flesh, what it just means is the sin nature that is inside the mind, the will, the emotions, as well as inside the physical body. If it's there, it acts as an insulator. It acts as a hindrance to the life of God. But when you crucify, so then death worketh in us. If it works death, if I kill the flesh, if I crucify the flesh, then my physical body now becomes a conduit pipe. It now becomes an avenue through which the life of God can flow for the benefit of others. So death in me, life in you. I didn't hear you. I said death in me, life in you. Open your mouth now. I said death in me, life in others. Mommy just called a fast for 1 month. Yeah, during that fast, during those hours, you will not eat. Then at 5 to 6, you come and you pray. As you pray now, you're going to be a blessing of life to others. But the death has been working in you since morning. When you've been crucifying the flesh. Death in me, life for others. That is part of what the Bible is going to say, become fellowship of his sufferings. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus died so that we can have life. Watch this. We die so that others can have life. I didn't hear you. Is it clear? Very important aspect for the motivation. One of the reasons why, yes, to love God and obey God, that's very important. But even also, you want to be a source of life to other people. So that is why you crucify the flesh. So death in you, but life for others. Everybody say, death in me, but life for others. Don't live a self-centered Christian life. Don't live an indulgent Christian life. We all just give bless. You don't want to pay any price. You don't want to take any responsibilities, like Dr. Williams was saying earlier on today, you know, you're blessed. Then instead of crucifying your flesh, you just keep the life of God inside, and then you enjoy the blessings that come. You enjoy the healing, you enjoy the prosperity and all of that, but nothing is coming out from you for the benefit of others. Turn to your neighbor and say, that will change in 2022. Because I am an overcomer. Give yourselves a clap offering. I've already said these ones, so I'm not gonna go through them. To keep the flow, you need to pray in the spirit. And that's how I've been teaching it for years. I got it from Kenneth Hagin first, confirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ. What could you not watch with me 1 hour? In the book of Acts, it says, you know, they went up a prayer of, at the hour of prayer. Practice this. It's one of the reasons why God allowed my wife to start Good Morning Jesus. That's an excellent platform to start and to practice. It's an excellent training platform. We were commenting, talking about this yesterday, you know, with Pastor Larry and Ore, and came to greet us, you know. And say, you know, they've noticed something. We started Good Morning Jesus 3 years ago, you know, in July 1, 2018. They've noticed something, that people can pray now for longer periods of time with intensity. When they first started, people would just pray for about 5-10 minutes. They couldn't. But now, over the years, their capacity has increased. Their strength has increased. It's like training in a gym. The more you train, the stronger you get. That's how it is spiritually. So join Good Morning Jesus if you haven't already joined. Or you have friends. Say you want to deal with the flesh. Learn this habit of praying extended in the spirit. Structured prayer, of course. Not just blowing tongues. You know, for, you know, God, the fear of God, the fruit of the spirit, you know, the life of God, the blood of Jesus. All those things are there in the background as a foundation. Then you now pray in the spirit. You're praying, you're pumping power out, you know, and the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. The stronger your spirit is going to get. So you need to pray in the spirit constantly, regularly, you know, and start with this. Even if it's 10 minutes you can do, start with that. Don't be ashamed. All of us started like that. I started with 10 minutes. Then I went to 15, then I went to 20, then I went to 30, then I went to 45, then I went to an hour. And with some time, I was able to do 2 hours, 3 hours. Pray in the spirit. That's how you crucify the flesh. There is no shortcut. If ye, everybody say, if ye, scream it, through the spirit, do mortify this other. You can't do it any other way. That's why I feel sorry for Christians who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they argue with you, oh no, you know, you don't have to speak in tongues to be a good Christian. Oh yeah? You know, I know a lot of people who don't speak in tongues, and they are living better than a lot of people who speak in tongues. That is sadly true. Sadly, that is true. But it's not because the scripture is wrong. It's because a lot of those people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they only pray in tongues, you know, for a few minutes just to show off. That I'm a Pentecostal Christian. I speak in tongues. But he doesn't keep the flow. And the flow, you know, the measure is not much. So you find him, you know, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So the other person who's not baptized in the Holy Spirit says, you see. So that tongues does not really matter. So, you know, after all, look at these people who say they pray in tongues. See how they are behaving. That has been the sad testimony. But it is changing. And it will change. God is going to have a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. Give him a clap offering, somebody. And I'll tell you something else that many people are ignorant of. When you don't have those tools, the Holy Ghost, you don't pray, Satan does not disturb you. You are not militarily strategic. It is the people who are in the vanguard that are attacked more than the other people. And so that's why I look at the people who are praying in tongues, see what they did. And we who don't pray in tongues, we don't have any problem. You know the problem with that? The only reason why you don't have any problem is that Satan has not just put his attention on you. You know why? You're under his control anyway. And he can come and pick you anytime he wants, which is what he does. But those who have it now need to do it properly. Am I talking to anybody here? Good. Now, so praying in the Spirit, keeping the word of God in your mouth day and night, once every 6 hours, you know, the word is neither in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. You put those things combined together with the blood of Jesus, of course, cleaning constantly in the background. So that the flow, nothing disturbs the flow. If the flow is there on a constant basis, the word, the blood, the word, and the Spirit, it will be cleansing you from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. You will walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, three areas. I said I'm going to give you three. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit gave me these three areas. In fact, this message, I'd received it last year. You know, and he said, I'll give you the time when you're going to preach it. After you preach the Commentary Overcomer Vanguard. Three. If you deal with these three, you won't have a problem with the others. Number one, overeating. You know, people talk about lust of the flesh, most people think about sex. Overeating. I didn't say you shouldn't eat. But if you really want to deal with the flesh, you have to learn to control your appetites. That doesn't mean you shouldn't eat. You know, food for the belly for... Oh, you almost scripture. Mommy, well, like scripture. You will go to mommy after the message. She will comfort you. Listen to me. It's in the Bible. And it was written to this troublesome church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It was a food for the belly. And open your mouth. And the belly for food. God would destroy both the food and the belly. And you know the next thing that comes out of God's mouth? The body is not for fornication. If you can deal with the food, you will not fornicate. If you can deal with the lust of overeating, you will be able to deal with the lust of sex, the lust of all a lot of other things. I discovered that by practice over the years. You deal with food, you find that the other things are easy to overcome. In Luke chapter 11. Hold the scripture. You know, I see it's on the screen. It wasn't on the screen before. Everybody, let's read the Bible together. Say, meat for the belly. Give it to us in New King James. You know, this one is not, you think he's only talking about pomo? Not talking about meat alone. This is the correct translation. Say, food for the stomach. The stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it, the food, and them. Or the stomach and the foods. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality. I didn't hear you. But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. What's the lesson? If I can deal with my lust for food, I will deal with my lust for sex. I didn't hear you. Say, Pastor Lupi, it's hard. I want you to overcome in 2022. I'm giving you gems. Luke 11, he says, lest your heart be overcharged. Verse 34. With surfeiting. Surfeiting means overeating, overindulgence. And give it to me. Luke 11, verse 34. Luke chapter 21, excuse me. Chapter 21, verse 34. Thank you. Everybody say, and take it to yourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is a present word. Take it to yourself in 2022. I didn't hear you. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting means overeating. Give this to me in New King James. Sorry, in, you can try New King James or New International Version or Amplified. There's it. Pray, take it yourself. Let your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life. Give me in another translation. I think Amplified. You see it. You know, it says the same thing here. Carousing, drunkenness, you know, if you look at with dissipation, drunkenness, the anxiety. You see, these things, just like you overcharge a battery. When you overeat, it charges, it weighs down on your spirit. You find you can't pray properly. I've done it over the years. Thank you, darling. Thank you, the Amplified. But take it to yourselves. And be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence. How many people can identify? When you overeat, what do you get? Giddiness. What else do you get? What else do you get? Nausea. That's vomiting. Has it happened to you before? When you've eaten too much, you know, and you have to... Happened to me. So I'm careful. I try and care. It's nice, but I can't eat all of that. I eat half of it, or I eat one quarter. Am I helping anybody here? I'm not hearing hallelujah, praise the Lord. What's wrong with you? Don't you ever say you are an overcomer and you are going to overcome these things. 2022, you're taking it back. Glory to God. Give the Lord a clap offering. So that's number one. Number two, lust. Lust is just a desire inconsistent with the will of God. Is sleeping. How many people like sleeping? You know, you would have thought when you're going to do, it's adultery. It's fornication and all that. Yeah, that part. But I've discovered, that's why I'm giving you these keys. If you deal with these ones, you will find it very easy to overcome fornication and adultery. In fact, the feelings will not even come to you. Because you see, you're dealing with the flesh. You're dealing with the sin nature in the flesh. So you can easily overcome it. I used to wonder, but now I know. And I preached this some years ago. How Joseph, a handsome young man, 17, survived in Egypt. My wife has gone to Egypt about 4 times. I'm here gone. I will go. We are planning to go to Israel. So we'll also go to Egypt. Now that this UAE thing has been done with Dubai and everything, you know, Egypt at that time and even up to now was notorious for sexual immorality, particularly a young man like Joseph. At that time, there was no Bible. There was no temple. There was no priest. He was a slave. Oh, Potiphar's wife. Before Potiphar's wife, Joseph was the head of Potiphar's household. He controlled money. He was a man of influence. He could have not been having any of those little young girls all over the whole place in Egypt. 17 years old, 20, 21, that's at the prime of your youth, where all the adrenaline and all the hormones and everything is working full time. Am I talking to anybody here? I told you there was a pastor is trying to help you. Don't get angry with him. Are you listening to me? But Joseph lived through that. And he never, there is no record of him committing adultery or fornication with any of those girls. And then the madam of the house now wanted to incite him. The Bible said he fled. That means that, you know, he had some feelings, but he said that this is not going to happen, man. You know, and he quickly got rid of it. How did Joseph do it? Go and read that, review my message. Joseph had no Bible. He kept the word in his mouth. Joseph kept the flow. Turn to your neighbor and say, Joseph kept the flow. And by keeping the flow, he stayed pure. If you keep the flow, you stay pure. Give yourselves a clap offering. Keep the flow. That's how he did it. That's how Joseph did it. Now, the next one is sleep. And dude, I'm just going to go to two scriptures. No, one. It's in Proverbs chapter 6. Some people are already laughing. They know that scripture. Hello? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 4. Everybody, we are going to read this Bible together. So you won't say it's Pastor Olubi that said it. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. I'm going to jump to verse 9. The other part is, you know, just a corollary of that. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? Don't your neighbor say, Pastor Olubi didn't say it. It's the Bible who said it. Sleep is a big problem. You know, years ago when God began teaching me about fasted life, and one day the Holy Spirit said, do you want to use one third of your life sleeping? 8 hours a day. One third. I said, but they said that that's what the scientists say. He said, they don't know more than me. He said, if you sleep 5-6 hours and give me those 2 hours, 2.5-3 hours, I will do wonders in your life. And he has. You can't afford it. You have to crucify. You have to learn to crucify it. Let me keep it, you know, easier. You won't get there overnight. Don't worry. But that's where Good Morning Jesus becomes very good. It's a good train. The good thing about it is that it's corporate, even though we're in the privacy of our rooms, you know. But you know, somebody's going to call you. If they don't see you, you know, like your pastor or somebody who is, I didn't see you today in prayer, you know. So once it's that 5 o'clock, you know, the thing just, you know, your phone will wake you up and that kind of thing. It's good. Good accountability. If you will learn to crucify food, crucify sleep, you will have power to deal with fornication, pride, adultery, you know, all the other lusts of the flesh that the Bible speaks about. These are the key things. The last one, and this is what we're going to close with, is talking. Hello? I say hello. You know, a lot of people think that there's nothing wrong with talking. But the Bible speaks about over-talking. And it's a lust. You know, everybody likes to gist. How many people know what I'm talking about? Before you know, you would talk more than what you should have said. Has it happened to you before? Anybody who is not waving, we need to have an altar call for them. Over-talking. Let me give you scripture. Proverbs chapter... Let me start with Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Am I helping anybody here? Say, Pastor wants you to be an overcomer in 2022. I didn't hear you. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, everybody scream it. Let thy words be what? He didn't say no words. He said just let them be few. What you can say in 5 minutes, don't use 20 minutes to say it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth what? Check it out. The scripture cannot be broken. You talk too much, you will sin. Either you will lie or you will exaggerate. Am I talking to anybody here? There are things you want to cut out in 2022. Cut them out. Talk, oh! The Yoruba people say, shoki. Just Say what necessary to be said, you know, and leave it like that. This is this message. The more talk, the less truth. I like that. Give the Lord a clap offering. James 1:19. We're closing shortly. James 1:19. You know what it says? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I'm not talking to you. Say, wherefore, my beloved brethren, don't you ever say he's talking to brethren, born again Christians. Let every man, don't you ever say that includes you, that includes me, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Many times we talk too much and too fast. Verse 26. I'm not picking these things around. I was given them by the Holy Spirit. He said, this 2022, you are going to overcome. And he said, crucify the flesh in these areas specifically. And I've told you how to do it. You keep the word in your mouth. Every day, say to yourself, I'm slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. I let my words be few. Say it in the morning, say it in the afternoon, say it in the night. Say it, you know, and in between, pray in tongues. You will see that within a month, your vocabulary will change. There are two things that have gone out of my vocabulary. I don't say them anymore. If I find myself saying it, I quickly correct it. You don't find me saying things like unfortunately, because my life is not based on fortune. I either say sadly or regrettably. And you don't find me say fortunately. The Holy Ghost taught me. You know, I always say providentially. You know why God rules in the affairs of men? There is no such thing as fortune. After a while, your vocabulary, even you, the Holy Ghost, you will get to learn that. The Holy Ghost said, don't say that. The Holy Ghost will tell you, that's enough. If you learn to, if you turn to your neighbor and say, if you keep the flow. You see, you cannot do these things by the flesh. Is by the Spirit. If you keep the flow, you will find that you will control your eating, you will control your sleeping, and you will control your talking. If you control those three, you will control everything. And I'm going to give you the final scripture to close on that. Look at it. James chapter 3, verse 2. Look at it. For in many things, we all offend. The King James says offend all, but you know, it means everybody. If any man, say any man is any man. That is me, you. Now God is telling us something that works for everybody. The same, if any man offend not in word, the same is a what? And able also to do what? He will control fornication. He will control adultery. He will control pride. He will. If you get these three, if you get the eating, if you get the sleeping, and you get the talking, you will get everything else. Stand to your feet. This is it, oh. You have an assignment for 2022. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is your overcomer year. You are going to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of eating, the lust of sleeping, the lust of talking too much. And by that, you will overcome every other lust and you will inherit the glory. Give yourselves a clap offering. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit.
Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move amongst us with holy fire.
As we lay aside,
as we lay aside all earthly desires. Reach out and our hearts aspire.
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Let's take this verse again. Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
I welcome you,
Lord, I welcome you.
Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
Move amongst us.
With holy fire.
As I lay aside,
I lay aside
all earthly. Reach out, reach those hands out.
Reach out
in my heart
and my heart aspire.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit, I welcome you.
Let the wind of your presence blow. People here,
your children,
my children, mine,
truly know
how
to move,
in the Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit. Please
accomplish in me
this year.
This year,
some new work,
some new work of love and grace.
I pray
unreservedly of your way.
Reserve
your way.
I welcome you.
I welcome.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand.
Let
the wind,
of your presence, blow
that your children hear.
Your children,
my children,
might
truly know
how. How?
Spirit's flow,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
oh Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I welcome you.
With that hand raised, the other one on your heart, we're going to pray. There's an expression I kept using, and it was given to me by the Spirit on the spot. It's not even in my notes. Keep the flow. As you go into this year, at the beginning of every day, make sure the flow starts. It's already in your heart, but you've got to let it flow. keep the flow. Before you go out, before you go into any situation, maybe you're going to a meeting, maybe you want to go and talk to your wife, or you want to go and talk to your husband, or you want to deal with a situation in the office and it's going to be cantankerous, keep the flow. Never go anywhere without the flow. Make sure the flow is on. That way you will deal with the lust of the flesh. Even if you slip up for a minute or two, you quickly say, Lord, I'm sorry. Confess my sins. I receive the blood of Jesus. I receive life. I'm praying tongues again. Everybody say, keep the flow. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for starting me in 2022 on a victorious note. Crucifying the sin nature in the flesh, the will, the mind, the emotions, the body, and the circumstances. Help me, Lord, throughout this year, by your mercy and by your grace, to keep the flow, to allow the life of God and the power of God to continue to flow from my spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, into my mind, into my will, into my emotions, into my body, into my circumstances on a daily basis, as a daily habit, to crucify the lust of the flesh, overeating, oversleeping, and over talking, so that by the end of this year, I will be able to bridle my whole body. Lord, I will be able to deal with the lust of the flesh, covetousness, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I will no longer be arrogant. I will not be rude. I will not be unmannerly. I will bear up on anything and everything that comes. My personality will become more like the personality of Jesus, so that when your glory comes, I will be able to use it properly and not abuse it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Father. La prikatolo mo shali bika gogo rimo mercy Father, thank you. La prikatolo mo tolo mo tufri do fresh kakro mo tolo mo tufri. Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you. La prikatolo mo tufri lombre kro mo tolo shke fresh. Holy Spirit, thank you. Lombre kro mo tolo mo tufri tolo mo tufri. Yes, oh la mashaka, thank you for your blood. La prikatolo mo tolo mo tufri for your life. Shake it tufri dia your power. Nikatolo mo tufri nengaras in our souls. Lipriki tufri des. In our bodies, in our circumstances, in our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure, rico, rimato, in Jesus' name. If you're watching, you need healing for your body, just stretch your hands towards your device. If you're at home, if you're here, just stretch your hands out. It's just a simple act of faith. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. Sickness is a distraction. When you're sick, you can't pray as you should. And then the flow is not there. And Satan knows that. That's why he tries to make us sick or weak. So that we're not, you know. The Bible says, for this cause many are weak, many are sickly. And sadly and regrettably, many die. But that's not the will of God for us. Stretch your hands. Father, I release your healing power into the bodies of all the people under the sound of my voice that have their hands stretched out in faith. I release healing power into their bodies now in Jesus' name. I come against the spirits of oppression, spirits of depression, spirits of discouragement. I cast you out. I destroy your works. I bind you in Jesus' name. I say 2022 will be a year of overcoming for them. They will overcome the lust of the flesh. They will overcome overeating. They will overcome oversleeping. They will overcome overtalking. And therefore they'll be able to control the whole body and their whole environment. In Jesus' name, amen.